I'd like to call the December 5th, 2019 board meeting to order and remind everyone to please use your microphones when speaking and turn them off when finished. Commissioners present are John Godsey, City Hillsborough, Danny Doyle, City Beaverton, and myself, Jim Duggan, Tuolumne Valley Water District. First on our agenda is the General Manager's Report presented by Mr. Kraska. Dave?
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'll start off the meeting today with a brief safety moment. Talking about emergency preparedness for being on the road. And so one thing to ask yourself, the question is, are you prepared for emergencies and travel delays? And I'll expand that also, are you prepared for icy roads? Myself personally, when I was driving into the office, I believe it was on Monday, coming across the bridge over Sunset Highway, my car started going sideways. And I've been driving into that office for 3 or 4 years now, and I was pretty surprised. That was the first time that it really caught me off guard. And I have a four-wheel drive car and the right tires and everything, but so it can strike when you least expect it. So just be prepared. And part of being prepared is plan your trips carefully, checking the weather forecasts and road conditions. If bad weather is forecast, drive only if absolutely necessary. Keep an emergency supply kit in your car. You never know when you might encounter a traffic emergency or a road closure. So what goes in an emergency supply kit? Well, for a grade A, it's all of these things. So it's a cell phone and charger, first aid kit, jumper cables, snow tires, basically all the things you see here. One of the more important ones, well, there's a lot of important ones, blankets, full tank of gas. I think that's probably one of the most important ones. Probably most of you or all of you remember back in, I think it was winter of 2017, when we had that late afternoon snowstorm. It took everyone 3 hours to drive home. Having a full tank of gas was really valuable that day. And here's a couple of websites to check out to get more information. So with that's our safety minute. Moving on to our the rest of our general manager's report, starting off with our approvals and procurements forecast, which is attached to this general manager's report for November through January. The forecast presents a view of the program activities that have recently been approved or are scheduled for approval over the next 2 months by either the program director, the management committee, or the board. Noteworthy in this forecast is that we're continuing our annual rebaseline effort to update our overall program budget schedule and targeting approval by the WWSS board in March. Additionally, we expect the master project coordination intergovernmental agreement with Washington County, which is on this, which this board approved in November, to be approved by the county at its meeting on December 17th. Regarding projects planning, permitting, and communications updates, various permitting and communications activities continued over the past month. On November 25th, 2019, the City of Wilsonville Development Review Board considered our land use application for the raw water facilities project. City staff and the program staff both made presentations to the DRB to provide background information on the raw water facility project and to explain our application. One resident whose property borders the project attended the meeting to ask questions regarding tree removal near her property. In the end, the DRB unanimously approved our application with a minor amendment to one of the conditions of approval. The conditions of approval are not unexpected or unreasonable. Regarding projects design status updates, work continues on multiple design projects, including 9 pipeline projects, the raw water facilities project, the water treatment plant, and the distributed control system. In response to our request for proposals for the reservoirs project, we received responses from 2 design consultants, HDR and Black & Veatch. Both consultants are currently working on other program projects. HDR is the design consultant for PLM 1.0, PLM 3.0, and the firm also provides real estate consulting services. Black & Veatch is the design consultant for the raw water facilities project. Both firms will be interviewed on December 11th, and this is the last major design consultant contract to be procured by the program. Regarding projects construction status updates, there are 4 projects actively under construction. PLM 1.1, a raw water pipeline project in Wilsonville that extends from our raw water facilities project to Wilsonville Road. PLM 1.2, another raw water pipeline project being completed in partnership with the City of Wilsonville's Garden Acre Road project. PLM 5.1, a finished water pipeline project being completed in partnership with Washington County's Rogers Road Project, and PLM 5.2, a finished water pipeline project along Shoals Ferry Road and Southwest Tile Flat Roads that we are working to complete in advance of development work in the area. All these projects remain on track and are progressing according to plan. A portion of the PLM 5.2 project will be constructed in the existing Southwest Tile Flat Road right-of-way. Constructing this portion of the pipeline will require a shutdown of Southwest Tile Flat Road between Grabourne Road and Shoals Ferry Road. To mitigate the anticipated traffic impacts, the program staff prepared a traffic control plan and detour route map that was recently approved by Washington County's Land Use and Transportation. Washington County also approved our request to maintain this closure for up to 61 days. There was one recent action that took place that I want to also add to this general manager's report. We had a meeting with the Sherwood City Council on Tuesday of this week, just a couple days ago, where they considered our application for annexation to the city. It was both our parcel for the treatment plant and the northern parcel for the Trammell Crow development that will occur. And both parcels were unanimous vote on city council to allow annexation of our parcels into the city. Pretty straightforward process, but one of the things that's noteworthy about it is that was planned as the Tonquin employment area for the city of Sherwood, and so the city of Sherwood they were interested in obviously diversifying their tax base. The city is largely a residential community, and so they were looking at the Tonquin employment area to do exactly that. One of the city councilors noted that our development will not add to their tax base. And so there were some questions that I had to answer regarding basically why should they allow us to annex and use that land for that purpose. I was able to answer those questions, and a couple of city council members and their planning director also answered questions to basically put the city council mind at ease that this was a good use of land. But it went very smoothly and was unanimously approved, so it was a good result for us. And that concludes the general manager's report.
Thank you, Dave. Next on our agenda is the public comment period. Do we have any members of the public here? John?
Not a member of the public, but as a member of the board here and a member of the Utilities Commission for the City of Hillsborough, I would like to register our concern regarding progress payments on the Willamette Water Supply Project. We haven't received a bill since June. We have sold bonds. We have $50 million ready to reimburse for these projects. And we're concerned it's causing problems within our own accounting mechanism, as well as the potential for additional costs for carrying charges and interest. And I don't know if the holdup is at the Willamette Water Supply System camp or it's the Tualatin Valley Water District camp, but I wanted to register our concern today and see if there's some way that we can work together, provide assistance, accounting expertise, bodies to help maybe work through the backlog some way that we can get a bill. and get us up to date. Excuse me. Thank you very much.
Staff response, please.
So, yes. Thank you very much for registering your concern in the meeting. It has been brought to our attention. I look to TVWD to help me answer the question. Basically, the steps that need to be taken forward is to get our WWSS Finance Committee, that group together to agree on addressing all of the issues. I think there's a number of issues that group is working on. That's why it's been delayed. It's not. It's an issue that hasn't been forgotten, but there are some issues that need to be overcome in order to issue an invoice. And so, with that, I'd like to look to Justin Carlton in the back row to provide a response for today that I'm sure we'll have to follow up on perhaps at the next board meeting.
So as I was saying, there's essentially two hurdles that need to be overcome to make progress on this. Where we are at today is we've calculated all of the cost shares per party, as well as done a true-up calculation. There's a issue surrounding the City of Beaverton 1.0 project and what applicable system-wide costs should be applied towards that, and so we need to resolve that before we can finalize the cost shares, and then we need to get together as a group and basically adopt the cost shares. We've gone through a process where we've reviewed the preliminary information with the Finance Committee, and we received received word that they would like some additional information, so we developed a report. That report is essentially almost final. We were planning to send that out actually tomorrow. That includes a detailed description of how all the allocations were developed and how the actual percentages were derived from those allocations in a manner that's consistent with Exhibit 1 of the IGA. So that's essentially where we're at. I can provide more details if you'd like, but we're hoping to make progress on this very shortly.
Thank you.
Just to reiterate, from our perspective, we would accept some sort of estimated payments. I know in the water business, sometime you estimate water meter charges. We would accept those kinds of things in the interim to try to get the ball rolling on the payments, as well as renewing our offer for additional staff if you need accounting expertise or accounting assistance, just to help crunch numbers or whatever. We'd be glad to do that.
So if I could, we can produce an invoice and a bill, and we can do that rapidly. What we were concerned about is not having all of the partner agencies necessarily in agreement on the methodology behind how that was done. And so we are in a position that I believe, and I'm looking back to Paul and Jeff, we could produce that very rapidly if we want to proceed with that, and then agree that, hey, we'll true up down the road. So if that is the direction, that is something we could do. Paul?
We actually created the estimates that we've shared with the partners, so we could provide that nearly immediately to the city so they could affect payment, but then it would be subject to any true-up. And we had agreed to, within the Finance Committee, we agreed to actually engage a third-party auditor. There was concern by one of the partners to make sure that the numbers tied out. So we could certainly, we had proposed that, actually send out the invoice, then do the audit, and follow up with any changes. So if that's where the City of Hillsborough is right now, we're more than anxious to get going, go right down that road and complete it.
I think we would at this point, given the time it's taken for the Finance Committee to work through the questions they have. I will confirm with our Finance Director that she's okay with that approach and get back to you guys as soon as possible. So I appreciate it.
All right. Are there any other members of the public that wish to address the board on items on the consent agenda and matters not on the agenda? Seeing that no one's here, I guess we can move on to the consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered to be routine and may be enacted in one motion without separate discussion. Any board member may present an item to be removed by motion for discussion and separate action. Any items requested to be removed from the consent agenda for separate discussion will be considered immediately after the board has approved those items which do not require discussion. Two items on our consent agenda is to approve the November 7th regular meeting minutes and approve resolution number WWSS 1319, a resolution accepting a water system facilities easement between Ed Bartholomew and the Willamette Water Supply System Commission for the Willamette Water Supply System Project PLM 5.2. I move a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Next on our agenda is our business agenda items. Item 8.1, consider adopting resolution number WWSS 1419, a resolution amending an intergovernmental agreement with Washington County for the joint design of PLM 4.1, Highway 99 crossing pipeline, and the Tualatin Sherwood Langer Farms Parkway to Borchers Drive. Ms. Bennett will present the staff report.
Thank you, Commissioners. I'll actually give you an overview of all three IGA amendments at one time, just to make things a little easier. The program has been able to strategically partner with Washington County to deliver coordinated pipeline and roadway projects at various locations in the region, and we executed a memorandum of understanding for that purpose called the Partnering MOU. And as you recall, last month, we are continuing to formalize our partnership through the Master Project Coordination Agreement, which we presented to you last month and is on the county's Board of Commissioners agenda for December 17th. The Master Project Coordination Agreement completed assignment from the Tualatin Valley Water District and City of Hillsborough to the WWSS Commission, which is why the list of amendments in front of you today has dropped from 4 to 3. The program and county have executed multiple intergovernmental agreements relating to the following projects: PLM 4.1, PLM 4.2, and PLW 1.2. We call these agreements the project IGAs. Since the execution of the original design project IGAs, there have been certain changes that require formalization through amendments to those agreements. The agreement updates include adding requirements for partnered projects to include Water Infrastructure Finance and Innovation Act, WIFIA, related contracting terms, clarifying responsibilities for certain costs, and updating project schedules. Staff recommend that these amendments be approved by the WWSS Commission to support the program's continuing partnerships with Washington County, and I'm happy to answer any questions at this time.
Questions from the board? Thank you, Jolene. Do I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number WWSS 1419, a resolution amending an intergovernmental agreement with Washington County for the joint design of PLM 4.1 Highway 99 crossing pipeline and Tualatin Sherwood Road Langer Farms Parkway to Borchers Drive?
So moved.
I think they were
all the resolutions.
On the, all the resolutions. We were going to take each.
You could do one motion to adopt all these resolutions, as long as in the motion it's stated that you're adopting the specific number item. So.
Good idea. Thank you.
The staff report presented the information. Maybe we can just go ahead and pass them in one motion, unless you want to separate one out for questions.
I have no additional questions or details.
No, I'm fine.
You're fine with that?
Yep.
Okay. Waiting for a motion. As recommended by our council.
There you go. Okay. I move we adopt resolution 1419, 1519, and 1619. Your intergovernmental agreements with Washington County.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt resolution number WWS 1419, 1519. And 1619 and 1719. call the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Agenda item B2 on our docket here is considering approving public notice of intent to approve alternate construction contracting methods for construction of selected pipeline projects. I think I can get it out in one sentence. Mr. Carrasco will present the staff report, followed by a presentation by Mr. Van Devere.
Pardon me, Commissioner Duggan. I think we might have skipped over item 4B1.
Oh, sorry. Got
I thought you were just changing the order. Probably a misstatement on 1719.
So one, one point of order. You will be acting as the local contract review board now for the WWSS, so you should reflect that in your minutes.
Okay. Pardon me? So, yeah, thank you for the correction. I skipped over B1.
And, And backing up to the previous motion, in your rereading, you included 1719, which is this next item. And that wasn't part of the original motion.
So can that be stricken?
Need to back up.
Do we need to back up and redo?
Back up the truck here.
It was moved and seconded. Yeah, not including 17. I inadvertently included 17 as I was skimming through the.
So let's just do a second.
Okay.
Right. Yes. Okay.
Previous motion, restate.
I move we amend the previous motion and restate this motion to approve resolution 14, 15, and 16 dealing with intergovernmental agreement with Washington County.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we adopt resolutions 14, 15, and 16-19 for intergovernmental agreement with Washington County for these projects. I'll call the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, now we'll get to agenda item B1. Thank you for backing up the truck. It's considering adopting resolution number WWSS 1719, a resolution of the Willamette Water Supply Commission in its capacity as a local contract review board, appointing the general manager as the public contracting officer and clarifying other procurement provisions. Dave, would you please present the staff report?
Glad to do so. So at its first meeting back in July, this body adopted the procurement rules of the managing agency, or TVWD. Those rules include provisions for a board to act as the local contract review board, and that the TVWD CEO is the public contracting officer. So those are the procurement rules of TVWD that have been adopted by this body. This resolution clarifies the rules to make this body, the WWSS Commission, the local contract review board, and the WWSS general manager, my position, as the public contracting officer. Furthermore, other clarifications are that the WWSS general manager shall have the authority to designate staff to work on commission activities, and that the WWSS general manager shall be enabled to interpret procurement rules when necessary. So we see this as an appropriate administrative activity to clarify the TVWD's procurement rules to make them appropriate for the WWSS Commission. And I'd be glad to take any questions you might have.
Any questions from the board? Thank you, Dave. Acting in capacity as a local contract review board, do I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number WWSS 1719, a resolution appointing the Willamette Water Supply Commission general manager as a public contracting officer and clarifying other procurement provisions?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Nope. The motion passes unanimously. Agenda item B2, considering approving public notice of intent to approve alternative contracting methods for construction of selected pipeline projects. And Dave, could you present the staff report with a follow-up presentation by Mr. Vandeveer?
Yep, thank you. So this LCRB issue is a little bit more complex than the first one, and it involves more judgment and analysis. It pertains to how we intend on bidding some of our construction work. Given the complexity, the program team performed a thorough analysis and have asked Bill Vandeveer to make the presentation to you today. Approval of this agenda item would begin the required 30-day public comment period so that we would be back with this item for approval at the January meeting. The reason I've asked Bill Vandeveer, just by point of introduction, in case you don't know, Bill Vandeveer is our program manager from our consultant team, Stantec, and he led the effort to not only prepare the presentation, but also to guide us through this analysis of this particular item. So with that, please take it away, Bill.
Good afternoon, commissioners, and thank you. So you have in your packet a staff report, a proposed resolution, a findings document, and the slides that I will now present that summarizes all of that information. This presentation will cover, provide an overview of the recommendation, or a preview of it rather, some background on the topic at hand, the evaluation process that we went through to arrive at the recommendation, restate the recommendation, and then summarize the steps associated with implementing that recommendation should you choose to enact it. The recommendation is wordy, but I'll read it for the record. It's to consider approving a motion to read by title only a draft resolution declaring an exemption from competitive bidding for a class of pipeline projects and approving the use of best value selection method for construction contractors. Receive oral testimony or written comments, and to direct that resolution be brought back for a second reading and adoption at the January 9th, 2020 board meeting. By way of background, the Oregon Revised Statutes say that construction contractors are selected through bidding, either low bid, open competitive, all comers, or low bid with pre-qualifications against a pre-qualified shortlist of competitors, unless an exemption is adopted by a local contract review board. Brings us here today. Willamette Water Supply Program, there we go, uses low bid with pre-qualification. We have a pre-qualified list of pipeline contractors. There are 11 pre-qualified contractors on that list. And the basis for pre-qualification was the firm and key staff qualifications, the firm's safety record, the firm's bonding capacity, and their financial health of their company. We only pre-qualify prime contractors, not the subs, and that will be relevant later in this discussion. The use of a best value selection method, which we'll get into a bit in a moment, for certain construction contracts would enable us to evaluate price in conjunction with non-price, non-cost factors, such as the specific technical approach for executing a given job and the specialized expertise that may be necessary beyond what was required in the minimum qualifications. All of our pre-qualified contractors would be eligible to compete and submit proposals. Come before you at this time for two purposes. One, it would enable us to include best value steps in our annual rebaseline that Dave alluded to earlier, so we can reflect those activities within the baseline schedule. Also, it would allow us to apply the best value selection process to the next upcoming contractor procurement in February of 2020. So how is best value distinct from low bid? There are very few differences. Both processes begin with 100% design documents, complete design. We'll take the low bid track and then contrast that with best value. A solicitation is published to our pre-qualifieds. We receive responses in that form of a bid. We select a contractor based on the lowest responsive bidder. Prepare and execute a contract with that respondent, and begin construction. On the best value track, again, beginning with 100% design documents, publish a solicitation to the same pool of pre-qualifieds, receive a response, in this case a proposal, which is price and technical, select the contractor on the best combination of qualifications, approach, and price, prepare and execute a contract, and commence construction. There are more similarities than differences. It's easy to confuse this process with alternative delivery like CMGC or design build. This is not that. There is no early contractor involvement. There's no guaranteed maximum price that is negotiated, and there are no complex contracting arrangements. This is merely a way to select the contractor from the pre-qualified pool. The Willamette Supply Program team identified three projects for best value, which are in the recommendation, doing so in a three-step process. First, we determined, of the projects that remain to be bid, is it eligible for best value? Meaning, one, we haven't procured the contractor already. That seems self-evident. But also, second, is Willamette Supply Program the lead for the procurement? In those projects where we are partnered with Washington County, the county is the lead for that project's procurement, and we're not proposing that we alter the county's procurement processes. So we exempted those projects from this consideration. For projects that passed that test, we evaluated whether we had sufficient information to make an informed decision about whether best value might be appropriate for that project. Asking ourselves, is the design sufficiently advanced that we understand what it will take to construct the project? Have we confirmed the delivery method? Do we know for sure it's design, bid, build, or might it be an alternative delivery project? And do we understand the phasing of the project? Is it one large project, or might it be broken into segments as the design progresses? For projects that pass that test, we evaluated on a qualitative basis, looking at the technical and logistical aspects of each project, asking, could best value selection allow the commission to accrue some meaningful benefits? Now I'll step you through the projects and the outcome of those three steps. So at step one, this is our list of projects that are eligible for consideration for best value. There are six projects, ranging from $32 million to $142 million in estimated construction value, all of which will be procured in 2020 and 2021. Going from south to north, approximately, PLM 1.3, PLM 4.3, both approximately 2.5 miles of six large diameter pipeline. The combined reservoir and PLM 5.3 project, if you recall, 5.3 traverses the reservoir site, so there's some benefits to constructing that as a single unit. PLW 1.3 in South Hillsboro, PLW 2.0 along Cornelius Pass in Hillsboro, and then MPE 1.0 along Shoals Ferry Road into Beaverton. Those were our eligible projects for consideration. Moving on to step two, which projects are ready for a decision on best value versus low bid with pre-qualification? It's the same list of projects, and we asked ourselves, is the design sufficiently advanced to understand the details of construction, delivery method confirmed, and phasing established? For PLM 1.3, the answer is yes all the way across the board. We think that is ready for a decision on best value. PLM 4.3, similarly, yes all the way across. The combined reservoir in 5.3, it's no all the way across. We're only now procuring the reservoir designer. The pipeline project is at nominally 30% design. We have not confirmed a delivery method. There's an evaluation scheduled in the first quarter of next year. And we're uncertain at this time about whether there'll be project phasing. There's an evaluation to be done as we get our designer engaged. PLW 1.3, again, yes all the way across. We understand the project and it's how to execute it, confirm design, bid, build, and that it is a single phase of construction. That one is ripe for consideration of best value. PLW 2.0, we are just now completing the 30% design. We're reasonably confident that it's a design bid build project, but there's an evaluation yet to be done on phasing. Not ripe for consideration. And then MPE 1.0, nominally 30% design at best. Today we are confident it's a design bid build project, bid build project. And there remains to be an evaluation on phasing. It is a 7-mile pipeline with coordination with Beaverton's projects, and phasing is, I would say, probable. So we have three projects that advanced to the third phase of evaluation, wherein we asked ourselves, could receiving a technical approach and additional qualifications from the contractor enable us to make a better decision on which contractor to choose? We evaluated five categories of topics. Public disruption and safety. Would a proposal give us information on the contractor's approach to minimizing disruption to the public and potential increases in safety, worker safety and traveling safety, traveler safety? Schedule, is there an opportunity for the contractor to submit alternative schedules that we might evaluate as part of their proposal? Value engineering, is there an opportunity for the contractor to give us a significant value engineering proposal as part of their proposal package? Right, I'm not tracking the clicks. Specialized expertise. Does the project require some form of specialized expertise beyond which the contractors were pre-qualified? And the most notable is significant trenchless work. Trenchless is often done by a subcontractor. The subcontractors were not part of pre-qualification. And then last, a general look at the technical and planning complexity, logistical complexity associated with executing the job, particularly with regard to the trenchless work or extensive traffic management that may be necessary for some of these projects. So the next few slides detail the three projects as we evaluated them. PLM 1.3, this is in Wilsonville, begins at just south of Southwest Wilsonville Road and terminates at the intersection of Ritter Road and Garden Acres in Wilsonville. We think that the best value selection method would enable us to look at the contractor's approach to crossing Wilsonville Road. Significant traffic management item, and there's also some opportunity to make an informed decision about open cut versus trenchless technologies there. And we would want our contractors to be able to inform that selection and offer alternatives. We can examine the contractor's qualifications, firm and personnel for doing trenchless work. There are two major trenchless crossings, potentially. Wilsonville Road is the first, and then there's a rail line crossing that is significant as well. Next, we can examine the contractor's approach to managing groundwater contamination. There is one known site of significant groundwater contamination at the where the pipeline and Southwest Wilsonville Road come together. We would want to examine the contractor's approach to managing that contaminated plume. And then examining the contractor's overall approach to traffic control through this very congested and busy corridor. For these reasons, the team thinks that the best value selection is ideal for this and makes that recommendation. Moving north to just north of Sherwood Road on Roy Rogers Road, this is PLM 4.3. Through the qualitative evaluation, the team thinks that looking at the contractor's approach to trenchless crossings of the Tualatin River and of Chicken Creek would be an advantageous thing in the best value selection process. Again, examining the contractors or their team's approach and qualifications for trenchless, extensive trenchless work. And then also, you'll note on the map, the Tualatin River National Wildlife Refuge, our pipeline is abutting that and threading through two different parts of that refuge. We have a very sensitive federal stakeholder there, and examine the contractor's approach to executing the work would be desirable in the procurement process. For those reasons, the team's recommending best value selection for PLM. Moving a little bit farther to the north, PLW 1.3 in South Hillsborough. Again, we think best value provides some advantages by enabling us to look at the contractor's approach to complex crossings. In this case, a major trenchless crossing of Butternut Creek. It's a deep, relatively long crossing of Butternut Creek. as well as a difficult crossing of 209th near Farmington. The contractor's proposal would also give us insight into their subcontractors' qualifications, firm, and personnel for doing trenchless crossings. And for these reasons, best value selection is recommended. Moving from the projects more to procedural, how does best value, how would it work? We would apply the following criteria, some qualitative criteria with regard to the project team, their experience and their performance on past projects, whether that's one firm, a joint venture, or a teamed arrangement. We can examine their project personnel's qualifications, and then the details of their technical approach, traffic, trenchless, groundwater, value engineering, and schedule. We would also receive a price proposal. And for each solicitation, each request for proposal, the relative weight, the weighted criteria would be described in that proposal and then applied to make the selection. So it'd be disclosed to the contractors in advance and then used in a transparent manner. There are some risks associated with doing best value, with doing anything that's slightly off the mainstream, but this is really not very far from mainstream. Talk about what those risks are and describe the mitigations that your team is prepared to enact. There is some additional level of effort for bidders, and the proposed mitigation is for us to limit the length and complexity of proposals so that the burden is not too onerous, possibly with some templates as well to make it easy on contractors. There is an increased potential for protest, and the proposed mitigation is the public notice that would ensue after today's meeting if you're interested in pursuing this, as well as the team conducting pre-bid outreach with contractors to avoid surprises, to counsel them on how to put together a proposal that is responsive, and again, to minimize the complexity. And there is the potential for higher construction contract pricing. Initial construction contract pricing, I would emphasize. To mitigate that, we would apply relatively high weight to price. There's also an opportunity here that we may see fewer change orders and claims as a product of choosing based on a technical proposal in addition to price. We would have confidence that the contractor has a well thought out approach, they have the appropriate specialization to deliver the work, and that their pricing is commensurate with that approach and their specialization. In the findings document in your package, the exemption, it follows the ORS requirements and passes the two key tests, which is that applying best value to these three construction projects would unlikely encourage favoritism or reduce competition, and it will likely result in cost savings or other substantial benefits. This is a competitive proposal process. Circling back to the recommendation, I won't read it again if that's okay.
Question. Is it the intent to have one contract where we take these three projects and go through this process with a set of contractors or separate them out?
Thank you for the question. Each would be independently procured, a separate RFP for each contractor, each contract.
We've used this process and we've had good experience with it. Is there a requirement that you take one of the top score in a sense? Or if you look at it and say, boy, their price is really out of line, it's way above the estimate. Do you have that flexibility? I don't know what the statute would tell you what you can and can't do, but just curious about that.
I'll make a statement, then I'm going to look to Clark that there is
well,
always
I'm in trouble now if you're going to take it.
The option exists to cancel a procurement if we're unsatisfied with the outcome.
Okay.
However,
but in our proposal documents, like any competitive proposal, you know, we're going to have the opportunity to negotiate to right. To a final, best and final kind of offer.
So if you're not happy with any of the proposals, just say, let's redo this. I think this is a good, considering what we're doing here with this whole project, this is the way to go as often as we can.
Right.
Sometimes it's more than price that makes something worth doing.
So our documents, if we're not satisfied with any of them, we can just blow the whole thing out and start over.
Thank you.
But we also will reserve the right to negotiate with the best and final offer. If we can't come to an agreement, we could then have the flexibility to go to number two and see if we can make a deal there as well.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. So if accepted, we would enact these four steps today. The board, acting as a local contract review board, would authorize us to issue a public notice, which we would inform the DJC tomorrow, and it would publish probably on Monday or Tuesday of next week. From December and January, the public comment period would run. In January, this body would receive comments or testimony, and then, if appropriate, approve the exemption. And then in early 2020, we would commence contractor outreach and prepare the RFP for PLW 1.3. Concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Any additional questions? Do we wish to act on the staff recommendation and acting as capacity of the local contract review board? Is there a motion and a second to approve the public notice of intent to approve alternative contracting methods for construction of selected Willamette water supply pipeline projects?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Just one comment. Thank you for a great presentation. Not everybody's familiar with this process, and I think it's important that we understand what we're getting into, and it's a good job.
Our pleasure.
Makes a lot of sense. Okay, call the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes unanimously. Last on our agenda is informational items. Ms. Bennett will now present the planned January business agenda items.
Thank you, Commissioners. I'd like to provide a preview of anticipated approval items for the following month's board meeting. The schedule of upcoming approval items is also provided in the approvals and procurements forecast included with the general manager's report. We currently have two items that we will be recommending for approval. First is a permitting support contract amendment, and second is completion of the recommended local contract review board action that Bill discussed. The permitting support contract amendment. Staff have been working with David Evans and Associates to develop a contract amendment for the existing program regulatory permitting and related consulting services contract, and will recommend that the board approves that amendment in January. The amendment will extend the duration of permitting support services to February 2021 and provide additional permitting assistance for the program. The amendment includes supporting efforts from DEA and several sub-consultants in the areas of land use permitting, hazardous materials assessments, historical and cultural resource assessments, and finalization of the thermal trading plan, a requirement of the issued Department of Environmental Quality / Clean Water Act Section 401 certification. The amendment value is expected to exceed the program director's authority limit for approval. Staff are continuing fee negotiations to secure the best value for the program. Second, the recommended local contract review board action. As discussed and approved in agenda item B today, staff recommend that the WWSS board, acting as the local contract review board, adopt a resolution to allow for the exemption from competitive bidding per ORS 279C.300 for three program projects. A 30-day public notice period is required to allow for public comment on the findings. Therefore, at the January 9th, 2020 board meeting, staff will review the public comments and make a recommendation on next actions. This concludes the summary of upcoming action items for next month. May I answer any questions?
Questions? I'd like to remind everyone that the next regular board meeting is scheduled on January 9th, 2020. My script says 20. Here we go on to brand new.
at 12 Valley Water District boardroom here. No communications or non-agenda items scheduled for today's meeting. Any other business before board here? Before I declare us adjourned.